We live in a sex-obsessed world. Right? Now, it can be easy to think that it's worse now than it ever has been, but I don't know that that's necessarily true. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. But did you know that even in Jesus' day and age, it was actually very common as a part of pagan worship practices to, once you gave your offering, to then sleep with a prostitute, male or female? It was just a part of pagan worship. That humanity has been obsessed with sex since the very start, for hundreds and hundreds of years. Now, God has created us as sexual beings. We are meant to experience pleasure and intimacy in godly ways. Sex isn't dirty or taboo. It should be talked about in the church because God made it and it's good. Everything God has created is good. But of course, right, the corrupted side of humanity often warps sex into something that it isn't meant to be, that isn't good, and at the very least making it something less than God's good intention for us to experience. So this morning we're actually starting a two-part series called Clean, and it's about sex, pornography, and freedom. Humanity has always been interested in sex, but pornography is more prevalent today because of technology than ever before. Much of today's message, just so you know, is actually based from a website called Covenant Eyes, covenanteyes.com. It's an excellent resource. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute as well. But a lot of the information, a lot of some of the statistics we're going to look at in a moment and the points come from them. It is a fantastic resource, which I would encourage you to access. Here's one of the things that comes from them. In 2014, the Barna Group, now this is a study of churches in America. Ours probably isn't a whole lot different, but they found this. They found that 64% of Christian men, 15% of Christian women view pornography at least monthly. That's 80% of the church. This is why we're talking about this. This is a real issue. It's a real issue that actually affects the church and outside the church. They also found this. They also found that individuals, Christian individuals that engage in viewing pornography are 200% more likely to commit adultery or to pay for sex. Here's some more statistics for you. In the 1980s, two researchers, they're not Christians, this is not a faith-based study, but in the 80s, so this was before, listen, the internet was still in its infancy, high-speed internet did not exist yet, and Dr. Zillman from Indiana University and Dr. Bryant from the University of Alabama did a six-week study with 160 college-age men and women regarding the effects of viewing pornography. They had three groups. They had one group that didn't watch any. They had a second group that watched some. And they had a third group that watched 5 hours of pornography over 6 weeks. 5 hours over 6 weeks. Now, in today's culture, it's not uncommon for 5 hours to happen in a week, not just over 6 weeks. Sometimes more. This is what they found. These are the five things that they found. Again, this is a non-faith-based study. These are the five results they found as a result of from the group, right? They had the group that didn't watch any and the group that watched 5 hours over 6 weeks. Here's the things that they found. Watching pornography actually decreases our sexual satisfaction. It does that because it trains us to desire the variety of like designer sex, as opposed to the familiar sexuality of marriage. Watching pornography disconnects us from real relationships. It trains us to detach emotional involvement from sexual experience. Watching pornography lowers our view of women. This was true of both men and women in the study. That shocked me. It lowers women's view of women. It lowers their view of women because it trains us to see women as sexual commodities and not people created in God's image. Watching pornography desensitizes us to cruelty because it numbs us to the seriousness of verbal and physical aggression. And watching pornography makes us want to watch more pornography. The reason for that is it actually taps into a part of your brain that releases hormones and chemicals that give you a rush, that make you feel good, and you desire it, and so you desire more of it. It actually weakens your willpower and self-control. When you watch pornography, it weakens your willpower and self-control, and it makes you want to watch more. You just like a drug addict wants their next fix, works the same way in pornography. It isn't as simple as saying, well, you should just make a decision and stop. It's just simply not. This is a non-faith-based study, right? They're not believers. And in the 80s, they're figuring out the damage, the destruction that pornography brings to humanity. And of course, we know now it's far more prevalent than it ever has been. The Bible describes that sexual sins are different than other sins. The reason being that it involves every part of our being. It involves our body, involves an intellectual decision, it involves our emotions, and there are physical reactions that happen in sexual sin. Everything that Jesus died for is affected by sexual sin. The use of and the addiction of pornography, addiction to pornography and sexual experience is a very real issue, both inside and outside the church. And it's not restricted to a particular age. Don't think that it's just young men that are struggling with it, because it's not. Kids as young as 8 and men as old as 80 have found themselves prisoners. It's not restricted to an age. And people who are sincerely trying to serve God will find themselves prisoner to this terrible secret. And if it isn't the thing you struggle with, you might think, well, that doesn't make sense. How can you say they're sincerely trying to serve God if they're prisoners to it? The reason I can say that is because I know each and every one of us in this room have brokenness. Each and every one of us in this room are in process and have things that we struggle with. Don't you have something in your life that you wish you could just snap your fingers and it would instantly change? Of course. It's true for people that find themselves trapped in pornography as well. For you, right, maybe you gossip. Maybe you struggle with anger. Maybe you struggle with being judgmental towards people that struggle. The fact is, everybody, every one of us have brokenness. This church, we're going to be a place that's open and loving. A place where people can be encouraged and loved to find support and freedom no matter what their struggle is. No matter what their struggle is. The church for years has been funny about sex. Not funny in a good way. As though it's a topic that we shouldn't discuss. And the fact is, it's something that God made, and he made it for us to enjoy and to find freedom in. So we're going to talk about it today, because I know this. I know that most people caught in these secret prisons, I know that they desperately want to be free. That they are looking for someone to encourage them, to pray for them, to someone that they can talk openly with and still be loved by until they find complete freedom. Jesus wants to bring healing and freedom to your life as you encounter his life-changing love. It is what he desires, to set you free. And we're going to pray a little bit later, and I absolutely believe that for some of you, he will instantaneously set you free. But I also understand that for those that find themselves caught in these places, you've probably prayed hundreds, maybe thousands of times for Jesus to set you free. And it might be today, but I also know that it might be that you need to walk some things out. So we're going to talk about that and what that looks like this morning. That's what we're going to talk about. This morning I want to talk about how we create and foster freedom while at the same time making room for brokenness. Because isn't that what Jesus does for us? Doesn't Jesus have complete freedom in mind for you? But also makes room for the fact that you're still in process, that you're still broken. You still make mistakes and bad choices, and some things still have you caught. And yet he still fosters freedom for you over and over and over again. Desires it for you. So we're going to look specifically at 2 Timothy 2 and 22. And this actually comes from Covenant Eyes as well. I've got three points that start with the word run. You know, I don't usually do that kind of thing. But it's good. Trust me, it's good. But so this is what we're reading. 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. So the first thing, in order for us to foster an atmosphere of freedom, and if you find yourself caught in this place, in this secret sin, and if you find yourself there, these are practical steps for you. Again, understand, people that find themselves caught in these places, they don't want to be there. Most of them don't want to be there. Nobody plans to find themselves in these places. You ever talk to a kid and said, what do you want to be when they grow up? And they say, a drug addict. Right? Nobody plans to be in these places. Different things lead us to these places. Pain and disappointment, abuse, bad choices. Right? So it says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Now, when he writes this, when Paul writes this to Timothy, he isn't saying it's just young people that deal with lust. That's not what he's saying. He's saying it starts when you're young. Right. It's when you're first growing up and you're, of course, your body's changing and puberty and all that. He's saying that's when you begin to experience cravings and desires and lusts. And that's when you make a choice. That you either engage them and embrace them in your life, and then if you do that, what happens is they take on a life of their own within you and eventually end up running you. Instead of you running from them, they run you. And so he's saying you need to run from these things. Run from them. So even if you're here and you find yourself trapped and in a secret place, your actions do matter. The choices you make actually make a difference, and they matter. They matter in your struggle to be free, no matter where you find yourself. I don't say that to condemn you, because I know if you find yourself trapped, you have tried. I know you've tried. So I don't say it to condemn you. I say it to encourage you. Keep making the choice, even though you might fail. Keep making the choice to run away from youthful lusts. Because it isn't about an age. It's about a mindset. It's about a decision. Pornography, like any sin that we live out in secret, isolates us. Isolates us. And what that does is it puts us into a dark place. And in that dark place, dark forces begin to talk to us. They begin to lie to us. And they tell us things like this. They tell us things like, you can't and you won't ever change. You ever thought that about yourself? Even if you're not like a prisoner to pornography, have you ever had that thought about something that you struggle with when it's been like, you know, the thousandth time that you failed? And you thought, oh, I don't know that I'll ever change. This is a lie the enemy wants you to believe. It comes out of a place of isolation. That place of isolation, we believe lies like this. If I really loved God, I wouldn't do this. Fortunately, sometimes other Christians have actually reinforced that in the person and made them feel condemned. The person that finds themselves trapped there already knows. They already know that what they're engaging in isn't the thing they're supposed to be engaged in. And so they believe this lie that if I really loved God, I wouldn't do these things in secret. But the fact is that they're in process. They're trying to love God. I'm not making an excuse for people making bad choices. I am trying to make room for the fact that we are all in a process and trying to come into places of greater freedom. We believe lies like this, that we could never be free or healthy. But what happens is when we bring these lies into the light, when we bring them out into the open, into community, freedom is then fostered. And we're going to talk more about that part near the end. A part of being a human being is to have cravings and desires, no matter your age. So the Bible says to run away from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. So it's not saying that just the young deal with this. We first experience them when we're young, right? And then we entertain and embrace it, or we run from it. We are always created to run from youthful lust, no matter your age, no matter where you find yourself right now. This is what God desires from you. You were created for a relationship with God and with others. It's one of the desires of the human heart to love and to be loved, to know and to be known. But when we try to fill that need or desire in an ungodly way, we'll find ourselves running to youthful lusts instead of away from them. I want to, let me just encourage you, if you're a young man or a young woman here, let me encourage you to run away from the ungodly desires that you experience. Don't let them rule over you. Don't let them live within you. Don't accept that it's just normal to have a secret life that nobody knows about, or secret sins that exist in you that people don't know. Don't accept that. It's simply not true. It's not how God intends it to work. Don't just accept that, hey, you know what, this is going to be a part of the way my life looks. This is just a part of the human experience. It's not how God intends the human experience to be. Isolating, keeping things in secret, will actually just compound your problem. It will isolate you and bring you into greater darkness. Make decisions. Your decisions matter. Your actions matter. So you need to, if you're a young person here, let me encourage you, make the decisions now before you become a prisoner. If you are a prisoner, understand that your actions, your decisions do matter. Don't believe that it's impossible in this sex-obsessed world to avoid pornography. Don't believe that. It is possible to avoid pornography. A few years ago, I had a conversation with my girls, right? They're getting older and, you know, and they're starting to date and things like that. And so one day I said to them, I said, you know, one of the things I noticed about Jesus is, I said, Jesus was, he died when he was 33 and he was a virgin. I'm just saying it's possible. Right? Our world tells us it's not. Our world says it's abnormal. Don't just accept it or believe it. God actually has good in store for you, including in the area of sexuality. Part of what we have to do is to run away from the things that want to own us, that want to run us. This might mean that you need to, like, mentally, intellectually run away from thoughts that want to grab your imagination, that you might have to discipline your mind. It might mean that you need to discipline what you look at, what you watch. If scrolling through YouTube, right, and if scrolling through YouTube is difficult for you, like it makes you want to engage in something more than just YouTube, then make a decision to either not use YouTube or to find something that can help you manage it. Because there actually is software out there. And you might think, well, if you're young, you might think, how do I live without YouTube? It's like the most used app on the whole planet. It is possible. And you know what? You will be okay. It's worth the price. It also might mean that you need to physically flee and run away from a situation or circumstance you find yourself in. It's not weak. In fact, in today's culture, it takes great strength to walk away from the things that want to trap you. But know this, God desires to help you. You have to put practical solutions in place to protect yourself. Covenant Eyes is one of those. As I said, the website, covenanteyes.com, it's also an app that you can download. You have to pay for it for a monthly thing. We've had it in our family for years. It's on every one of our devices. And it does two things. It both reports where people have been, if they've been to inappropriate things, and it also filters, meaning if something inappropriate comes up, it blocks the site. Because if you've spent any time on the internet, you know that you can stumble across something when you're not even looking for it. And so it does that for you. We've had it for years. And here's the thing that I want to say from Christian Life Fellowship. I so believe that God wants you to be free. And I believe that you can be. We will, if you want to try Covenant Eyes at home on your devices, we will pay for 10 accounts for 3 months. After 3 months, you're going to have to pick up the cost yourself. But we'll pay for 10 accounts for 3 months because I just so believe that God wants you to be free. Now, you will have to come talk to me about it because that's just the way you have to get signed up. In saying that, the way Covenant Eyes works is you then have an accountability partner. Somebody that it will weekly, it can be daily or weekly, it will email them if there's concerning things that you've been engaged in. If you try to uninstall the app, it will immediately email your accountability partner and tell them. It's smart. It doesn't just look at what websites you've been. You can actually set it up where it will take screenshots and will look at what image is on the screen. It's good protection. When I was a young man, I struggled. Now, why do I keep Covenant Eyes? Because I'm not stupid. Right? I'm intentionally protecting not just me, but my family and my kids, right? It's something that we're engaged in. You have to make practical decisions. Your choices matter. Your choices matter. Now, if you want to be signed up to Covenant Eyes, please come talk to me. I will say this. I don't want to be your accountability partner. You need to find a good friend that does that for you. Mine is my very good friend, Derek, who's a pastor in Ohio. I met Derek my first day of Bible college, and we've been very good friends ever since. I'll talk more about Derek in a few minutes. But please, no one understand that we desire to help you be free. There's other practical things that you can do. Go to bed when your spouse goes to bed. Staying up late on the internet or watching movies and TVs, it's a recipe for you to make a bad choice. Go to bed when your spouse goes to bed. And you might think, well, I'm not tired. So what? Find something else to do. Oh, yeah, I just got why you laughed. Right. Sure, why not? We are talking about sex. I wasn't thinking that, but yes, very good. Within marriage. Of course, I did say going to bed with your spouse, so that just makes sense. Right? Go to bed your spouse goes to bed. Block certain websites or TV channels if you need to. Talk to a trusted friend. Your choices matter and make a difference. But if you find yourself, if you find yourself in this prison, then I know that you know that just the simple choice isn't enough. That there's more you need to do. I know that. I can appreciate that. Again, any of us that find ourselves in places where, like, there's something in your life that you think, I just wish I could switch it. If it were as simple as just making the decision, wouldn't you have made it already? Right. Of course you would have. It's no different in this. And so this is where it comes into where you have to pursue something. So you need to run away from things that want to own you and pursue, run to the right things. Right? Pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. So you have to pursue Jesus. So you turn from it and you run towards Jesus. It's not enough to just flee youthful lusts. But you have to instill a new passion in your life. The pursuit of knowing Jesus. Right? In this instance, righteous living is not about being perfect. It's not about never failing. It's about the pursuit of pleasing God with your whole life. Isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what we desire? And yet we all have areas of brokenness that are in process. And so we pursue pleasing God with everything that we do. We pursue God in faithfulness, meaning we want to make the right choice every time, understanding that we all fail and we all make mistakes, and yet our goal is to pursue loving Jesus with all that we have. We pursue love. Not the kind of love that's depicted in pornography, because it's not true love at all. But the love that God has for us, even in our brokenness. If you are here and you're a prisoner to this, know this. He loves you. He loves you. One of the lies that pornography, being caught in the prison of pornography, will tell you is that God must be so disappointed with you. And the truth is, right, that does God want you to change? Does he want you to be free? Absolutely. But he loves you. He is for you, not against you. The whole point and purpose of Jesus' death and resurrection was to bring hope and healing and freedom into our lives. Pursue love, knowing that he loves you and he wants you to encounter his life-changing love, and to pursue peace. Whenever you're caught in a place like that secret place of sin, peace isn't something you get to experience a lot. Because you're in conflict, right? There's something you know you should be doing, a way that you know you should be living, and you can't quite get there. And what God wants is for you to pursue his peace. Because his peace will actually settle things within your soul that want to drive you towards youthful lust. Pursue the peace. We're to run hard after knowing Jesus. You are made and created to know him. He actually wants you to live. He's created you and destined you to live in righteousness, like to live in a way that pleases him, to be faithful, to be loving, and to have peace. It is his plan for you. Let me encourage you with that today. It is his plan for you to experience these things. I've said this to you lots of times. He's not this fickle God that is waiting for you to get everything right before he gives you these things. It is a consistent pursuit that we're to engage in, to experience it more and more. So we run from it, we run to Jesus, and then we're to enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. We are to run with other people. We're to run with people. See, we would all, I think most of us would prefer to say, okay, yeah, I like the first two. I can run from things and I can run to things, but don't make me actually be real with another human being. I would prefer if I could just go away and do it all on my own and get myself fixed, and, you know, then I can come back into relationship because I'm all right. This is not how God has made this work. He wants us to walk with one another, even in our brokenness, to create a place of freedom. Understand, I'm not saying a place of acceptance, because one of the lies, right, that our world is telling us is that if I accept you, then I have to agree with everything you're doing. Well, that's never true. Ever, for any of us, right? And so it's to create this place where it's like, I love you, I accept you, and I understand that you have brokenness, and I understand that within you, you probably want more free from your brokenness than I want it for you. And so we have to be willing to be real and transparent and open and honest with one another. We have to find people that are looking to pursue the Lord in relationship. See, it's not enough to just assume that everybody in this room, you know, because you're here, that everybody in this room has the same intention, that everybody is on the same journey. In fact, you have to be very intentional to pursue accountability with other people, to pursue relationship. You have to intentionally do it. Don't just assume that because there's people in this room that are maybe also in a journey, in a process with Jesus, that they want, like that they're just going to speak to you and help you. They may. But the truth is, you have to intentionally go after accountability in your life. People that will speak lovingly, truthfully into your life about who you are, the choices that you're making. This is where I'm going to come back to my friend Derek. I've got three people in my life that I talk to and process the deep things in my life. My friend Derek, right? Derek was, you know, I was the best man in his wedding, and we've been very good friends since the first day of Bible college. It's my friend Mark, who you've met. He's preached here. He pastors in Maple Ridge now. And my wife Angela. There's three people that I process the deep things in my life, the broken parts of me. Now, two of them are also pastors. Mark and Derek are also pastors. I process the things of pastoring with them. Sometimes you people frustrate me. I do love you. I do love you. I think this is a fantastic church. But you know, pastoring has challenges, just like your job has challenges. My life's not perfect. There's stress. There's difficulties. There's spiritual things at work. And so I talk to them. And the truth is, I know that they'll speak truth to me in loving and caring ways. Because sometimes they say to me, Blair, they're not the problem. You are. Nobody likes hearing that, but it's good for you to hear it. You need to intentionally cultivate accountability. Angela knows more about my brokenness than anybody on the face of the earth. Not only because she encounters it on a regular basis, but because we talk about it. And she just happens to be so good that she still loves me. You have to intentionally pursue accountability in your life if you want to be free from the things that keep you prisoner. See, we're going to pray in a couple minutes. And I know what people really want is they want Jesus just to simply break things in you for you to be free. I want that for you too. But I also understand that God desires us to be in relationship with one another. And so sometimes he doesn't let us go just that easily. Because what he's trying to do is bring us into places where we actually share our brokenness with one another and find his grace, his mercy, his freedom there. Building a good accountability relationship takes time, takes trust. You shouldn't just do it with anybody or everybody, right? When you get up from here today, like, don't just go and bleed all over people, okay? Do it with people that you know you can trust. And if you don't have anybody, then begin the process of developing those friendships, those relationships. Find someone that you can talk to. As a church, we have resources for you that can help you, from Covenant Eyes to studies that you can do. And my hope is that by the fall, we have a group that deals specifically with this issue to help people be free. 80% of the church deals with this. I don't say that with any condemnation. I say it just to reinforce as to why we're talking about it. God so desires you to be free, and I absolutely believe that you can be. And it will take, it probably will take some very difficult work on your part, where you need to intentionally create accountability, talk to people, and find places of hope and healing, because that's what true community looks like. True community looks like people being able to be transparent and open, and finding in that place of transparency somebody that will pray for them, someone that will encourage them, that is willing to walk alongside them. Here's what I want to end with. Because within this room, I know, just based on statistics, I know that some of you are caught in this prison. So here's what I want to say to all of us. If somebody begins to talk to you about this, that's first off the indicator that they are looking to trust you with it, and they're looking for help. Here's what I want. I want you to avoid as much Christianese as you can. Here's what I mean by that. Because our standard response and answer within the practice of our faith is often to say this: well, you should just pray and read your Bible and maybe start serving some people. You should just, here's some practical things you can do. And here's the thing, for people that find themselves in this trap, in this prison, in this addiction, they have prayed hundreds or thousands of times. They are reading their Bible, probably. They are looking for help. Now, does that mean they shouldn't do those things? Of course they should. Of course they, you know, it's the thing is, what really needs to happen is, if somebody begins to talk to you about this, what they really need from you is for you to say, how can I help you? What can I do for you to help you be free? That's what they need. They don't need the pat answer that we so often love to give. They need somebody to go into the place where they're a prisoner and help walk out with them. I absolutely believe that you're capable of that, that God would want us to do that for one another, because he desires for you to be free. Can you do that for one another? I know you can. All right, let's pray. I'm going to invite the worship team. They're going to come this time, and we're going to pray together. I'm going to pray for you. And if you're here this morning and you're maybe feeling nervous, it's okay. Just be calm. You're just going to stay right where you are today, and we're going to just pray for you right where you are, all right? But I am going to invite you to stand. It's good for you to switch positions a little bit, and then we're going to respond to the Lord in worship. But let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you, God, that you desire us to be free. God, I pray that for each and every one of us, we would run from the things that want to own us, the lust, the desires, the cravings that want to control us. God, that we would run from them, that we would run towards you, Jesus. and that we would run together, that we would be a community that fosters freedom, making room for the fact that we're all broken, that we're all in process. God, I pray now for complete freedom for those that find themselves prisoners to pornography or other addictions. But God, for pornography, that it be broken right now in Jesus' name. That deliverance, that healing come in Jesus' name right now, Lord. Father, that you produce in us, your people, the heart of compassion and grace that you have for those that find themselves trapped. That we would be like your hands and your feet, that we would walk with them, be with them, encourage them, love them, help them find places of freedom. Thank you, Lord. God, I pray in these next few minutes as we respond to you, Lord, in worship, I pray that your Spirit would come and you would meet us, you would minister healing and freedom. Speak truth to people, Lord. We pray this, Jesus, in your beautiful, beautiful name. Amen.